just yesterday, Marcel Marceau died. And
he passed away. He was a mime.
He had passed silently. You know what his last words were?
No one does.
Only he heard them. So, Marcel, I've seen him a couple of times in performance. He was a very great artist. And I don't know very much about mime, except for the fact that I, like everybody else, make fun of it. And yet, I've enjoyed it most of the times I've seen it. In fact, most recently, Billy the Mime, who is absolutely brilliant. He's taking it to another level. He's taking it to a very modern and dark sensibility. If you ever saw the movie The Aristocrats, or he's literally off-Broadway now. I think he's finishing up his run doing his show of all these different short mimes. Worse than that, I mean, Billy the Mime's mime pieces include things like A Day Called 9/11, what were some of the other... I mean, he really goes into some dark... The Death of JFK... The death of John F. Kennedy Jr. He'll go to the darkest, deepest, ugliest topics and make them both funny and a little scary and sometimes beautiful. He's really wonderful. But anyway, if you think mime is just about, well, the typical Marceau image of walking against the wind and that there's nothing to that and it's boring, well, when it's done right, it isn't at all. And it can be pretty spectacular and wonderful, which Marceau, at his best, could be. So, talking about Marceau, is someone who knew him, was kind of friends with him, studied with him, my good friend Richmond Shepherd. So, he was kind of a last-minute addition to the show. I'm going to be very happy to have him. But we're going to take these 10 minutes and remember the passing of a pretty legendary, major, major figure in the performance world, Marceau.
Much the greatest mime of all time, I think.
Well, that's what most people think. I don't know if our special guest would agree. He may not. Our guest is Richmond Shepherd, who, as I mentioned before, has done pretty much everything in the theater business, from producing to directing to acting, including mime. He is a master mime, teaches it, and has done it for years and years and years. So, first of all, Richmond, welcome back to Dave's Gone By. How you doing?
Well, thank you. I'm putting on my radio voice now.
Oh, I like that. So you're a radio person, too.
Ooh, that's very impressive, Richmond.
Actually,
who am I talking to besides
this is Jeff.
Jeff Goodman is my co-host in the studio for this episode of Dave's Gone By.
But of course, Richard knew that, being a loyal listener and all.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because Richmond
I live just out of range. I'm on a barge 3 miles outside of New York City, out in the ocean. And
you're in the garbage
barge? We don't get the radio wave.
You have your pirate mine station going out on the barge. But
it's the outlaw station.
And there you go. But actually,
the inlaw station.
You used to be the theater critic for what?
WNEW Radio.
Yeah.
I was a theater and film critic for a couple of years when WNEW was playing Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald and that kind of music.
So, yeah, before the QEW and then the Disney stuff, so that's when...
The AM is owned by Bloomberg now.
So they turned it into business. So, yeah. I thought QEW switched to the children's...
No, WNEW AM.
Uh-huh.
Some of the people went over to QEW. Right. They changed the name of it from QXR AM.
Oh, QXR, right, okay.
This is before that.
Anyway.
1987 to 89.
Got it. And anyway, even long, long before that, Richmond...
And at that time, long ago, I was already a grown-up.
Just
but
barely.
Did you know Roberto Tirado? Did you know he did the weather?
Roberto Tirado?
Yeah, but Roberto...
Remember Action News Channel 11?
Did she have a little mole on her right hip?
Then you knew her. Or do you have to page through your Rolodex to figure out, which girl with a mole on her left? Anyway...
But it's a boy!
So, Richmond, let's get to your knowing the late Marcel Marceau. When did you first meet him?
I met him on his very first trip to America.
Mm-hmm.
That's about
53 years ago, something like that.
Yes,
right?
50 years ago. He was 33 years old when I met him.
Mm-hmm.
He just died at 84. So it's approximately 51 years ago.
And what are your thoughts?
Well, I had been doing mime for a few years. I studied with someone who had studied with Marceau's teacher, Etienne de Crewe.
You studied with that crew as well, right?
Yeah, I did later on. I was working for the newspaper show business, writing for them, selling. So I was just out of college and selling advertising for them, and I heard Musk, and I'd learned some mime from Alvin Epstein, who is still around.
Yeah,
King Leo last year, and he was one of my first teachers, and so I asked Leo Scholl, who was the owner of.
Well-remembered Leo Scholl, who owns show business, yes.
I asked him if I could review Marcel Marceau, and I did, and it was one of the early reviews Marceau got.
Mm.
And I met him, and we chatted, and he said, well, you know, he came down to my studio and watched my little mime troupe do a little something, and he said, why don't you come to Paris? So I said, okay.
Yeah.
1956. And I went to Paris, and I studied with Etienne Ducroux. Mm-hmm. I didn't study with Marceau. I worked out with him a bit on the stage at the theater where he was preparing a show.
Uh-huh.
And I was friendly with him, but he was very busy doing a show.
Right, okay.
And I studied with the man who taught him, Etienne Ducroux.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned from Ducroux that what I was doing was okay, which was not Ducroux's tangent, it was my own. Which is probably more based on Jean-Louis Barrault, who was the mime who was in the film Children of Paradise, Les Enfants du Paradis.
So, yeah. But how would you say your style differed from Marcel's?
I didn't do much one-man stuff.
Oh, okay.
I never did one man chasing a butterfly. Or what he did was, what happens to a man when he rides on a subway, when he goes into a shop, when he...
Right.
And cancers, whatever. I did mime theater with many characters, with costuming, with live music,
mm-hmm.
with theatrical stories. So it was different. It was more like what Barrault did in Children of Paradise.
Okay.
Can you give us an insight into the person that was Marcel Marceau?
Sure. He was...
Because, I mean, I saw his show when it was... He was last year, I guess, in the Belasco Theater at the in like, the late 80s or something.
Mid-80s, he was on Broadway, but he kept coming back to, like, the Danny Kaye Playhouse.
Yeah, I mean,
later
and
years.
He was just brilliant. I mean, it was breathtaking just to see him work. And I'd love to, you know... And because he never spoke on stage, I just really want to know what this man was all about.
Well, I saw him perform, of course... When he was 33 and up until into his early 80s, I saw him in, I don't know, just a few years ago in Austin, Texas. I saw a show he did, and he did a couple of shows in New York a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he maintained his physical agility. He was always able to create his mime magic on the stage. There's no one alive, or there hasn't been anybody who could do what he does, which is what happens to a man when he, as well as Marceau did.
Mm.
He liked as a person, you couldn't shut him up.
Really?
That's what some of the obituaries say.
He was a very gabby, chatty person. He liked to hold court and talk a lot. He was very conscious of his status.
Mm.
As a world-renowned figure.
Did he talk much?
Didn't, you know, hesitate to remind you of it.
Did he talk much about his family and his dad and the Holocaust and all that, or was that...
No, he never did. Hmm. The first television interview he ever did, I arranged for him in California. Les Crane had a television show on the Westinghouse before he went to ABC with the shotgun mic.
Mm-hmm.
And Les was a good friend of mine at the time. And I said, listen, Marceau's coming to town. He said, who? I said, come on, interview him, put him on your show. And I told him a little bit about Marceau. And anyway, he interviewed him, and that was his first appearance on television. And that was the first hint that anybody knew that Marceau was Jewish,
Given name was Mangel, I think, wasn't
no
it?
No one knew his maiden name. No one knew his father. One knew anything about... Well, that's what I call it.
Yeah.
His original name. Nobody knew anything about his history or his family's history. But I had prepped less. And he said, well, I understand that, you know, you're Jewish and that you took part in the underground in France fighting the Nazis. And Marceau kind of hesitantly at that time, this was a long time ago, said, well, yes, that's true. And a little bit about his family's history came out then.
But he was surprising. He was so...
He was always thought of as French.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only when he became older that he began to discuss at all his family history, relatives dying in Auschwitz, and the part he took in the underground.
Yeah, his father had died in Auschwitz. I don't know if I had made that clear. Yeah, I have just 1 or 2 minutes left with Richmond Shepherd. Thank you so much for talking to us about Marcel Marceau. The one thing I also wanted to mention to you, and this is kind of interesting, when I would go see Marcel Marceau, I saw him on Broadway, a couple of times off Broadway, and it was great, it was brilliant, it was amazing to watch, but it was always 2.5 hours long. And I was
I said to him every time I saw him, Marcel, don't do 2.5 hours in America. Do 1.5 hours, 1.75 hours. I'll come and see you again next year. He said, no, I would have to leave out this and I would leave out... I said, leave it out. I'll come back and see you next year. No. You couldn't tell him what to do or how to do it because he was, after all, Marceau. And he also, I said to him, don't do your abstract stuff in the first half. Do it in the second half. Do your comedy stuff in the beginning so that they'll come back for the second half. But he did it his own way. And ultimately, his audiences got smaller and smaller because you saw him for 2.5 hours. You were not going to come back the next year.
Yeah, that kind of holds you for a few years, 2.5 hours straight of mime. Anyway, Richmond, I want to thank you very, very much.
Anyway, we were all really fond of Marceau.
Good. Was he a nice guy? I mean, aside from the arrogance, was he a nice...
He was very sweet. He was really nice. He had a kind of a naivete about him.
I was at his
76th birthday party here in New York. He was doing a workshop, and I gave him an imaginary flower. No, we were all quite fond of him. We liked him. There was a kind of a sweetness about him.
I hope he got that imaginary gold brick I left at the stage.
The imaginary wallet. I kind of mailed him at one point.
I think he has transcended that at this moment.
Well, I want to thank you, first of all. We're very, very happy to have you and your memories of Marceau, and for a million other reasons to have Richmond Shepherd on Dave's Gone By. Best of luck. By the way, let's tell everybody, give you a little bit of a plug. Richmond Shepherd is the owner and operator of the Richmond Shepherd Theater on East, is it 17th Street?
On East 26th and 2nd, and I'm going into rehearsal on Tuesday for a play that I will be in.
Ooh.
Opening in about 3 weeks. It's called B.J. Lang Presents Cyrano, about a mad former film director who thinks he's still directing Cyrano. We're timing this to open in conjunction with Kevin Klein opening in Cyrano on Broadway.
Well, everybody go to the Richmond Shepherd Theater to see Richmond himself appearing in that play. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to move on from Inside Broadway. Thank you again, Richmond. We'll be
back. Anytime.